It is a joy to sing that song with you and to especially honor all the moms, the grandmothers, the great-grandmothers, and I think we even have some great-great-grandmothers that are here this morning. One of the great things, those of you that brought a mom to church or you are here and you're supporting a mom or a grandmother, hey, you've already given them one of the best gifts you could possibly give, right? Coming to worship the Lord, the maker of our families, the giver of life. You've given them also, I think, probably the second best gift, and that is that you didn't have to wait 2 hours in line to be here like you're going to have to wait at the restaurant this afternoon. Just saying. In fact, probably we'll be done here early enough. If you go out right away, you won't even have to wait those 2 hours. So we're setting you up here on a wonderful Mother's Day, and what a blessing it is to celebrate it together. It's also a combination of a couple of other things. It's the last Sunday in the Easter season, and so we are now looking at the time between when Jesus has ascended back into heaven and the disciples are kind of trying to figure out what's next. And we let the gospel reading guide us most importantly in that. And it is a time for us to have a last chance speaking and sharing and connecting and worshiping with all of you. So all of that bundled together, let's see what we can possibly do about this. One of the things I hope that you'll notice as you hear Jesus say this in his prayer, and I think it might be helpful if I put that scripture back up to for you again, that you hear from John chapter 17, verse 11. This is known as part of Jesus' high priestly prayer. And as he's praying for the disciples who are alive on the earth then, he's also praying for us. And so you hear him say this wonderful, beautiful phrase, "Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, the name of Jesus, so that they may be one." It was very important to Jesus that they be one. And moms, I would imagine you have probably had a similar thing. It's important to me that our family stay together, that the kids love each other, get along with each other. There's something about family, there's something about oneness and unity that is very important. And we'll explore that in the Bible class today, looking at how that theme of unity with God and with each other has been there since the very beginning of Scripture, since the unity that is inside God himself. And that's one reason why I think this statement, I hope, can ring true for you, meaning that the number one marker of our faith is that we're unified in love. We're unified with God, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're unified and loving each other as equals, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And it was the prayer of Jesus that they may be one. Now, there's a understanding of that. There's an unpacking of it, of what it means to be one. But one of the first things I hope that you would hear out of it is that there is strength in unity. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but have you ever sensed like if there maybe aren't as many people in the pews, it's kind of hard to sing some of the hymns, but when all of y'all are here, then the hymns shine out and they ring strong and true? Have you ever picked up on that? There's a strength that comes when we unify our voices, and there's a strength that comes when we unify our hearts and our efforts. We accomplish more together than we can accomplish apart from each other. And the reason I think for that is that our unity is really representative of God's unity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one. God's tri-unity united together in this way where they are separate and yet equal. They are three persons and yet one God. A mystery that we cannot fully explain, but a gift of unity that has blessed us since the beginning of time. God working together in unity to create this earth. God working together in unity as the Father sent his Son and Jesus walked in the flesh. And then the Spirit anointed him in his baptism and strengthened him all the way to the cross where he gave his life for us. And the Spirit, which we will celebrate coming next Sunday in Pentecost, all of that rolled together to make us this people of God that we are today. And then we demonstrating that unity of God and unity with each other to the rest of the world. And they go, wow, there's something to this. It's interesting that sociologists and mental health scientists are discovering and realizing that people who live in regular faith communities, those who worship on a regular basis, I'm not going to get into defining what regular basis is, it doesn't matter, but those who have those kind of connections live on average of 8 years longer than those who don't. How about that? That ought to keep a few of us in the pews for a while, right? But seriously, though, it's absolutely true. There's something about that unity. It's more than just a social connection. It's also a love connection, a theological connection to God that makes us stronger than we would be by ourselves. And that unity that we have strengthens us. That unity that God had in mind is a gift that I hope we cling to and we realize, and we see it in its different expressions. Now, what do I mean by that? One of those expressions of that unity is that we can be one even when we're in different places. For some of us, our moms don't live right here close by, so we'll be getting on the phone today and calling mom up, or using the new technology of FaceTime or, you know, one of those others where all of us can be on the line with mom at the same time. We're in different places. My mother once joked, she said, "It's as if my kids all got together and decided how far away on the map can they move away from me?" But it is what it is, and we are where we are because of our careers and our callings and everything else. But we're one in together as a family, and we'll be one and united in calling her. And I think God's family is the same way. We are here, and we gather, and we get that strengthening from the sacraments, from God's Word, and the encouragement of each other. But then we scatter out into the world. But do we change? We're still one. We're still Christians. We're still the Gethsemane family. We are still children of God out where we are. Or in the case of what's about to happen, of where I'm departing to another congregation and you all are going to be here, we're going to be in different places, but we're still unified, aren't we? We speak the same creed. We pray to the same God. We want the same things. We pray for each other's goodness and goodwill. We are one, even in different places. And the church around the world has been living like that, scattered out amongst the world, scattered and shining its light in different places, from Australia all the way to Newfoundland and every place in between, as we have strived to be united followers of Jesus, shining his light and showing his love and living out that unity. The second thing, a way I think we can do this, we still honor God, we follow his ways, we pray for each other. We are asking for God's best for people, no matter how near or far we may be apart. I think another expression of it is that we can be one even when we do different things. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the current hymnal sitting in the burgundy hymnal, sitting in the hymnal right now, was written in 2006. And I realize that none of us may quite grasp that, but you know that was before the invention of this little thing, right? Before the invention of the smartphone. Can you think of how much the world has changed since 2006? Now, it's interesting because they continue to produce supplements to this hymnal. There are new hymns, which is why we subscribe to a service here called Creative Worship, created by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but sending out new hymns all the time. Now, one of those hymns that we just did, Honor Christian Mothers, isn't in the hymn book, but it's wonderful to sing something new like that, isn't it? To celebrate the goodness of God and the strength of what he offers to us, and especially the gift of mothers. We can be one and we can do different things. And maybe this is troubling, but I want to share one of the things I want to ask all of us to think about is a mistake that is in the Constitution of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There's a mistake in the Constitution of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It doesn't rise to the level of a sin, as far as I have judgment to know, but it is an error that I hope and pray we will hear today's gospel and we will live out and work out so that that mistake doesn't impact us. What do I mean? If you read Article 1, Section 1 of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Constitution, it uses the word uniformity instead of unity. Uniformity. And I think for a long, long time, the Lutheran Church thought uniformity was unity. It was really important. I remember an elder telling me once, "Pastor, I don't want anything in my Lutheran church to change. I want to be able to drive from New York out to California, and anywhere I stop, when I find a Lutheran church, I know exactly what I'm going to get. They've got the same three readings. They've got the same hymns and the hymnal. Everything will be the same." That's uniformity. It's all the same. Now, I look at this room right now, and there is not uniformity in this room. Some heads have hair, some don't. Some are female, some are not. Some are moms, some are not. Some are young, some are older. There is not uniformity in this room, but there is unity. There's unity around our faith in Jesus Christ. And so the risk is, if we feel uniformity is the most important thing, then we won't ever change anything. The Missouri Synod already realizes that that's not true. That's why they keep adding to the hymnal. And so as they keep doing that, I ask you, Gethsemane, to think about what are some things God might want us to change? What are some things God might want us to do differently? Might it be some different music? Might it be some different activities? Might it be some different focuses? But we can still be one as Jesus wants us and prays we will be one, even as we do different things and possibly change. That flexibility, that roll with the punches, I think is something that moms instinctively know better than dads do. At least this dad has kind of a, this is the way it's going to work, and I'm not changing. You know, I'm not asking for directions. I'm not stopping. I'm going to do it this way, right? That's kind of how male brains work. I think moms' brains realize they have to flex sometimes. They have to adjust. And so this wonderful prayer or blessing from Mother Teresa, I think, can speak to the moms that are here today, and maybe in a degree to all of us. "You will teach them to fly, but they will not fly your flight. You will teach them to dream, but they will not dream your dreams. You will teach them to live, but they will not live your life. Nevertheless, in every flight, in every life, in every dream, the print of the way you taught will always remain." Children remember the kindness of a mom. They remember the sternness and the firmness of a mom. They remember, most of all, the love of a mom, wanting to live that same love out and share it with others. It's what we teach. It's what we hope. And I ask you, as the Gethsemane family, I'm going to keep dreaming great dreams for you, praying great things for you. And I ask you to keep praying and dreaming and striving to be all that God wants you to be. And I know that God will have us be one, even as Jesus and the Father and the Spirit are one, as all of that happens. To Him be the glory now and always. Amen.